Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. I am, Lord willing, preaching a message this morning on the subject of repentance. And you don't hear much about repentance in the mainstream, but repentance is a very biblical, foundational word of our faith. And I stand before you this morning also as one who struggles, also as one who desires to grow in faith, one who desires to grow in love and in hope. So I'm not standing before you saying you repent, but I don't have to. Repentance is a lifestyle of the Christian. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down." Let us pray. Lord, we humble ourselves before your word this morning. And Lord, as a church family, we ask that you will speak to us through this word. And Lord, you'll speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And Lord, we don't want to perish. We don't want others to perish. So Lord, help us to understand the true meaning of the biblical word of repentance. And may it be all for your glory this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Here in this setting, Jesus is teaching and the group of Galileans come and to tell him about Pilate. Now, Pilate wasn't a nice guy. And these Galileans were in the temple, and Pilate went in there and had them murdered. And their blood was mingled with the sacrifice there in the temple. Now, Jewish thought in that day, and sometimes we think the same thing, I wonder what those people did to get that. They must have been some bad people for God to allow that to happen. You know, there they were in the temple. The temple couldn't save them. But see, there they were worshiping, and they were murdered. And then Jesus tells of a tower that was being built, and these Jewish people were actually cooperating with the Roman Empire. And most Jewish people would not dare do that. So the tower fell and killed them. And a true Jewish person, sometimes we think this way. They got what they deserved. They were helping Rome. And God allowed them to die. Here Jesus is teaching. The teaching was not about why things happen. That teaching is we live in a fallen world. We live in sin. And all of creation is waiting for the return of Jesus. It's groaning. We groan within ourselves because bad things happen. And yet through that we got to have faith. But he turns this into a teaching about repenting. And he said, unless we repent, we will likewise perish. And he's not talking about physical perishing. He's talking about spiritual death away from the presence of God for all eternity in a place called hell. That's perishing. For all eternity, experiencing perishing. Unless we repent, we will likewise perish. So repentance is central in our faith. He began preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So except we repent, will perish. So what is repentance? What does it mean to repent? Sometimes we try to take strong biblical words and change them into something else so people can understand it, and we miss out on what it really means. So what does repentance mean to you and I? Repentance is central in our part concerning salvation. We're saved by grace. It's Jesus and only Jesus for salvation. It's not Jesus plus ritual or religion or speaking in tongues or anything like that. Jesus saves us, and the church says hallelujah. It's by his grace that we're saved. But our part in this, we place our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we repent. Repent is a turning. Most of us that was in the military and about face, it's like you're going this direction or you're standing at attention, and you do one of these things. I can't hardly do it in cowboy boots, but I can do it in combat boots pretty good. But it's an about face. And that is central in our faith and in our salvation, that we turn from the world and sin and we turn to God. Our faith is in Jesus and we repent before him. And it is a lifestyle. It's not a one-time thing. But we repent to stay in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. You see, if we're harboring sin, if you're harboring sin right there where you're at, even though you're in church and you're a good Christian, if you're harboring sin, you're affecting the fellowship and the relationship you have with a God who is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And just the word holy is enough for us to turn from the world and repent and trust in Jesus. Repentance is a change. The Greek form of it means it's a change of mind. And what does that mean? Our attitude and our thought process concerning sin changes from the natural man's way of thinking about sin. The natural man, you know, his spiritual state is, if it feels good, do it. If it's not hurting anybody else. Okay? But the biblical form of repentance with our mind and our attitude is, we hate sin. We don't want to do it. Our whole attitude changes. And the Hebrew form of repentance is a change of heart concerning sin. Our feelings and desire is not for worldly things, but it is to know God more and more. So that's what the definitions of repentance is. Repentance is central in our part concerning spiritual growth. We want to grow spiritually. We came to Sunday school, studied God's Word, we're in worship, and we want to grow spiritually. Amen? Repentance is central in that part of growing in the faith. But you know, there are at least 7 ways we think we repent. I'm going to go through them real quickly. One way that we think we repent is religious repentance. Religious repentance is like the Pharisee standing in the temple and praying within himself. Praying to himself. He wasn't praying to God. And said, Lord, I'm glad, I'm thankful that I'm not like that man over there. You see, religious repentance compares yourself to someone else. And I guarantee when we compare ourselves to other people, we can find their faults pretty quick, can't we? So it's confessing other people's faults. Religious repentance. Another way we think we repent is pagan repentance. Pagan repentance is the thought that God is, he's mean. He's out to get us. He's bad. And, you know, he's a very legalistic God. And pagan repentance is trying to appease this God. It ain't the God of the Bible. This is pagan. You're trying to appease and do the right work or do good enough so that God will place favor upon you. In other words, you're manipulating God to treat you good. That's pagan repentance. Every cult in the world, that's their avenue, they think. But God's a holy, loving God. He loves you. You hear me? Pagan repentance. Another way we think we repent is worldly repentance. A worldly repentance is, I know I'm bad. You don't have to tell me I'm bad. I know I'm bad. So since I'm so bad, I need some counseling. I need to figure out why I'm so bad. And just realize and figure out why I do the things that I do. I can tell you, you're born in sin. That's why. Another way of repentance that we think we repent is mere confession. That's why I have difficulty with the ABC thing about salvation that many times we use, well, with anybody. And just mere confession is, Lord, I sinned. And you go back and do it again. Lord, forgive me. You go back and do it. Lord, forgive me. And that's mere confession. That becomes a ritual. And when you pray or when we pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And that's it. It's not a change of mind and heart towards sin. Another way we think we repent is blame shifting. We're good at that. Any problems we have in our home, it's Alicia's fault. It's not mine. See how it works? That started in the beginning. Adam, where are you? Why are you trying to cover yourself with fig leaves? God, it's the woman that you created. Actually, your fault, God. You created her. What he was saying. And she said it was a serpent. Blame shifting. It's not really my fault. Another way we think we repent is minimizing sin. In other words, my children are good at this. I'm not necessarily saying Rebecca, but I have one. Well, Diana, she did something and she started like this. Daddy, I'm pregnant. What? See, I'm just kidding. Let me tell you what I did. Okay? That's what she does to me sometimes. But the thought of this is, we're good at this. I'm not as bad. I didn't murder anybody. I just stole a little bit. You see how we say, we characterize sin. Okay? God, I really didn't murder anybody today. I just talked bad about it. Okay? Minimizing it. Another is we make excuses. I'm only human. I'm just a man. That's an excuse. That's not repenting of sin. It was the way I grew up. Men, you know, making excuses. It's the Irish in me, or it's the German in me, or it's the Indian in me. I'm going to paint up on them. Okay? Excuses. But repentance, biblical repentance, it's central in our spiritual growth. If you repent in these ways, in this manner, it's not biblical repentance. And you're not growing in the faith. You're not growing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Jesus told this parable about this fig tree, and Jesus had an earthly ministry around 3 or 4 years. We can use this parable and say, well, Jesus was talking about himself to the nation of Israel. Israel didn't repent and they did perish. 70 years later, the Roman Emperor Titus came in and cleaned their clock. But yet it's here in the scriptures. For us. For us. And this parable is about this tree, this fruit tree, that needed to bear fruit. So repentance bears fruit. Let's read a little bit what the scriptures say about repentance. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. We're going to read through verse 8. I love hearing Bible pages turning. I'm going to start though, for sake of time. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, baptism means to be immersed. Ward for water cannot wash away our sins. Repentance means a change of mind and a change of heart. It's called conversion. Being converted. A baptism of it. You're saturated with it. It's your life. And water baptism is so important that it even symbolizes and shows what it means. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough way smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Fruit of repentance. Repentance bears fruit. Let's continue to read. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. I highly recommend read the whole chapter. I'm going to read one verse though. Verse 20, 21 of Acts 20. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and place faith. A change of attitude, our mind and our heart, and looking to God by faith. Fruit of repentance. Another, Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter. Now I want you to notice the order of how these things are written. It's repent, turn to God, and place your faith in Him. Okay, Acts chapter 26, verse 20. But declared first, now Paul's preaching to King Agrippa, and he almost was persuaded, but he didn't repent. But listen to this one verse. But declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, which means turn to God and do works befitting repentance. Turn to God and do the works of repentance. Turn to God and have fruit of repentance. Turn to God and place your faith in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about repentance bears fruit, just like that fruit tree Jesus was telling about in His parable, that if it doesn't bear fruit, it's going to perish. It's going to be cut down. But the long suffering of God through the cross of Calvary says, wait. Wait, don't cut it down. Because God is long suffering. God is merciful. And He wills that none should perish. Oh, He's long suffering towards us. Repent before it's too late. It's fruit. It's joy, it's relationships restored, it's fellowship with Jesus. Fruit of repentance. It's faith. It's conversion. It's more than praying a sinner's prayer, a one-time deal. It is a lifestyle of faith and repenting. Biblical repentance. Well, preacher, I'm going to straighten my life up, and when I do, I'll come. I'll be a good church member. And we all in here know none of us are really good church members. When I get my life straightened out, turn to God, faith in Jesus, repent. And the fruit, the works is after we turn to God in repentance. The fruit is after we turn to God. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. I loved to swim. When I was young, I could really swim. I think I couldn't swim across this room if I had to now. I'd get out of breath. But I lived at the Nebo swimming pool whenever I wasn't hauling hay or at Hemp's Creek. And Nebo's swimming pool had girl lifeguards. This was before I met Alicia. And one of the DeVille girls was a lifeguard. Boy, she was pretty. She was a couple years older than me, so I was out of the question, but I sure liked to show off in front of her. I'd get on that high diving board, me and Kurt DeVille, one of her cousins, or best friends, and we'd do flip one and a halfs and gainers and back flips, and I would always do a can opener and try to splash her, and I'd go and swim and just show out in front of her. Because I was a good swimmer. But you know what? There were times that I was down at the bottom too long and I may not make it. Or trying to swim and we'd rock the pool and jump and make splashes and come back around, climb way back, do it over a line of us. You get tired doing that. But my pride, if I thought I could make it to the ladder or to the side of the pool, I would not dare cry for help for her to jump and save me. Because I was showing out. I want her to see how good I could swim. Remember the story of Peter? Peter stepped out of the boat, went walking with his eyes on Jesus, and he began to sink. He was going down. And when you're going down, when you realize, I cannot make it to the side. I cannot make it to the ladder. I can't get out of this water. And Peter was going down. He didn't say, Lord, look how good I can swim in these waves and wind. He said, Lord, save me. Save me. Help me. Biblical repentance is when you realize you're nothing apart from Jesus and you're going down. Down. With no hope. You can't do it. You cry out with your mind and your heart and your being. You're baptized. Save me. Save me. I turn to you. Anything else is those other type of repentance. Repentance is central to salvation and our spiritual growth. Central. We're fixing to have an invitation. Some of you need to respond publicly and tell this church, I want to be saved, or I am saved, and I want to make it public, and I want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and I want to place a stake here. And you're going to do the works and fruit of repentance. You can't do them before you accept Christ. The Holy Spirit working in us and through us grows us. And we repent and grow and repent. Faith, trusting and obeying. Some of you need to repent as a Christian. Maybe you need to come kneel at the altar. I'll pray with you. God will lay on your heart what you need to do if that's your heart's desire to grow. Repent or perish. Repent or perish. God loves you. He don't want you to perish. But that's your choice. Let us pray. Lord, Lord, I come and as one that repents, one that needs help. I'm one of them. God, I pray that we will grow in faith in you and not justify sin or blame others, but repent and faith in you. Lord, if someone needs to repent initially and receive you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, may they turn to you. May they know that they're at their rope's end. They can't make it. Can't make it. May they trust in you, Jesus. For all eternity, we give you glory. Amen.